Let's return to the gospel according to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes 8, page 1043 in your pew Bibles. Page 1043. Remember how Solomon was saying in chapter 7, he was searching but not finding. He found one upright man among 1,000, but not one upright woman among them all. And this only have I found. God made mankind upright, but men have gone in search of many schemes. And now he applies that to the realm of government and politics, the depravity of man found in the civil government, and how Christians should live with that. 8 verse 1. Who is like the wise man? Who knows the explanation of things? Wisdom brightens a man's face and changes its hard appearance. Obey the king's command, I say, because you took an oath before God. Do not be in a hurry to leave the king's presence. Do not stand up for a bad cause, for he will do whatever he pleases. Since a king's word is supreme, who can say to him, "What are you doing?" Whoever obeys his command will come to no harm, and the wise heart will know the proper time and procedure. For there is a proper time and procedure for every matter, though a man's misery weighs heavily upon him. Since no man knows the future, who can tell him what is to come? No man has power over the wind to contain it, so no one has power over the day of his death. As no one is discharged in time of war, so wickedness will not release those who practice it. All this I saw as I applied my mind to everything done under the sun. There's a time when a man lords it over others to his own hurt. Then, too, I saw the wicked buried, those who used to come and go from the holy place and receive praise in the city where they did this. This, too, is meaningless. When the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, the hearts of the people are filled with schemes to do wrong. Although a wicked man commits 100 crimes and still lives a long time, I know that it will go better with God-fearing men who are reverent before God. Yet because the wicked do not fear God, it will not go well with them, and their days will not lengthen like a shadow. There is something else meaningless that occurs on earth. Righteous men who get what the wicked deserve, and wicked men who get what the righteous deserve. This too, I say, is meaningless. So I commend the enjoyment of life, because nothing is better for a man under the sun than to eat and drink and be glad. Then joy will accompany him in his work all the days of the life God has given him under the sun. When I applied my mind to know wisdom and to observe man's labor on earth, his eyes not sleeping, seeing sleep day or night, then I saw all that God has done, or I saw all the work of God. No one can comprehend what goes on under the sun. Despite all his efforts to search it out, man cannot discover its meaning. Even a wise man claims he knows. If a wise man claims he knows, he cannot really comprehend it. There ends the reading of God's word. May he bless us by it. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, are you ever frustrated by politics? Are you ever aggravated, provoked by the lies, the waste, the empty promises, the mudslinging, the moral posturing, the identity politics, the political correctness? Do you despair that there will ever come a government on earth that actually fixes problems, that actually pays down the debt, and that really gets something done? Do you despair? Or are you looking for that knight in shining armor who will one day rise to power in Canada, and he will fix all the problems, and he'll put everything back on the right track? Are you one who, when your party wins, you're ecstatic, the world is going to become a better place, and when your party loses, you despair? This is a crisis that's going to just ruin us. What do you think of politics? How much do you stress about politics? Solomon stressed about it. You know how he tried different avenues to find the meaning of life. He tried human wisdom. He tried pleasure. He tried riches. He tried work. Now he also tries politics, government. Maybe there he could discover the meaning of life. He could find satisfaction, happiness. The answer. Here's the answer I've been looking for. But he failed miserably, and he shares his observations with us in chapter 8. What can politics render? And his conclusion is this: government can't save you. And politics can't fix the world. Politics can't cure life's ills. It cannot make straight what's crooked. And the sooner we discover this bit of profound wisdom, the sooner your blood pressure will go down and you can learn how to trust God and relax in times of political stress and actually enjoy life with God here on earth rather than rage and stress. That's what we learn here. How to relax during stressful political times. Wisdom teaches us to relax, teaches us to obey the king, to fear God, and to learn that wisdom doesn't have all the answers. We cannot have all the answers. God does, but we don't. That's the way to relax and find peace. As God's children, in stressful political times, wisdom obeys the king. I want you first, brothers and sisters, to look at the first and last verses of chapter 8. They both deal with wisdom. The bookends of the chapter. Verse 1. Who's like the wise man? Who knows the explanation of things? Wisdom brightens a man's face and changes its hard appearance. If you put your trust in government, your face can get hard and harsh as you get so aggravated by the junk and the hopelessness of it. But wisdom will soften your face, put on a smile, and help you relax. And it'll remove the hard lines of worry and stress. It'll actually change your appearance. That's all wisdom will do for you. That's what it says in verse 1. It'll change your appearance. Then jump ahead to the end of the chapter, which says, oh, and by the way, wisdom teaches you that you really don't have all the wisdom you need. No one can comprehend what goes on under the sun, verse 17. Despite all his efforts to search it out, man cannot discover its meaning. Even if a wise man claims he knows, he's lying. He can't really comprehend it. There are limits to wisdom. Wisdom simply can't figure out all that's going on under the sun. He can't see the whole picture. Only God can. And we must leave it in his hands. And that's how we get a brighter faith. We leave it in his hands. We relax in times of stress. So both wisdom and knowing that we don't have all the wisdom, these are the key to a lower blood pressure and a higher quality of life with a brighter look on your face. Trust in Jesus to bring the new creation, not politics. That's really the key. Trust in Jesus, the King, to bring the new creation, not politics, not government. So with this in mind, he tells us, live as peacefully and wisely as you can with the government that you have. Verse 2. Live as peacefully and wisely as you can with the government that you have. And don't stress about all the problems in that government. Obey the king's command, I say, because you took an oath before God. It's part of your pledge of allegiance to your country. Since God put that government in place, you're to fear God and honor the king, says the Bible in 1 Peter 2. You're to obey your king even if you don't agree with all his policies. Even if you don't like his party, you still owe him allegiance before God. I know there are things that are terrible. There's abortion. There's the national debt. There's a provincial debt. But obey the king even when the ruler in power is one you don't want and you don't like. Verses 3 and 4. Don't be in a hurry to leave the king's presence. Don't stand up for a bad cause or stand up against a bad cause, for he will do whatever he pleases. Since a king's word is supreme, who can say to him, hey, what are you doing? Don't be too quick to run away from him and to start a revolution. That's what he's saying. To run away and revolt when you disagree with him. Remember how powerful he is. Remember what he can do to you. Of course, like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when the king's command goes against God's command, you must bow to God, not to the king or to his image. But remember also, like Daniel, how he served the king with an excellent spirit. He was the emperor's most trusted servant. He could trust Daniel before anybody else. Even though he was a wicked king and Daniel was a righteous man. And the king knew that the Spirit of God lived in Daniel. Daniel sought to serve as peacefully and wisely as he could in a wicked government. Remember, even if the king is a wicked man, this refers back to verse 7, you should not be overly righteous and be a mouthy Christian that tries to tell him how he should run his country. He is the king and you are not. Obey him, honor him, pray for him. I love that line at the end of Philippians chapter 4. Paul says to the church at Philippi, all the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. Did I get that right? Especially those of Caesar's household in the church at Rome, bringing greetings to the saints at Philippi. Caesar, the hater of the church, persecutor of the church. Verses 5 and 6. Whoever obeys his command will come to no harm. And the wise heart will know the proper time and procedure, for there is a proper time and procedure for every matter, though a man's misery weighs heavily upon him. It's not always easy to know what's the right thing to do in times of political stress and distress, especially if you're serving in government, but for all of us who serve under government. We have to make a lot of hard calls. What's the best way to serve my king in this matter? It takes a lot of wisdom to know the proper time and procedure. There's no fit formula. There's no set way. It's not a matter of connecting the dots or paint by number. When to speak up, when not to speak up. How to speak up, how not to speak up. You see, when there's hardship and suffering, sometimes that leads us to act impulsively before authority, but we must be wise and patient and careful and humble. And this requires to know the proper time and procedure, a lot of prayer and leading of the Holy Spirit, directing us according to the principles of God's Word, and to pray, teach me thy way. O Lord, teach me thy way. Thy guiding grace afford, teach me thy way. Help me to walk aright, more by faith, less by sight. Lead me with heavenly light, teach me thy way. We must pray that the Lord would teach us the proper time and procedure in a way that fears God and honors the king. Verses 7 and 8, since no man knows the future, who can tell him what is to come? No man has power over the wind to contain it, so no one has power over the day of his death. As no one is discharged in time of war, so wickedness will not release those who practice it. The point here is always keep politics and government in proper perspective. Number 1, verse 7, you can't control what's going to happen in the future even if your party gets in. You don't know what they're going to do. They might terribly disappoint you. You can't guarantee that they're going to do right. People are unpredictable. You can't control that. So keep politics and government in proper perspective. Verse 8. Neither can you control the king's life or your own. You're going to wind up dead. Keep that in mind. No man has power over the wind to contain it. So you can't control the day of your death. It's all temporary. It's not going to last. Help that. May that help us have perspective. And then one more thing. As no one is discharged in time of war, so wickedness will not release those who practice it. The king doesn't discharge you and say you can go home when there's war. So also evil doesn't say to an evil king, I'll release you now from my grip. Evil doesn't do that. So if the king is evil, you can't stop that. You can't control that. You can't change him. God can, but you can't. So give up trying to control and change the world. Jesus reigns. Politics doesn't. Jesus will redeem the world. Government can't. Obey the king, congregation, knowing that there's a greater king who is making everything new. The answer is with him. And knowing that can put a smile on your face and give peace to your soul in times of great political stress. I'm so thankful Jesus reigns. And he has a program of paradise that's coming. And no king can get in the way of that. In fact, that's the greatest influence we can be in our culture. In a culture where so many stress out about politics and pin their hopes on the prince, we, by relaxing a bit, can show we don't put our hope in that prince. We have a higher prince. And because of him, we have confidence and peace that everything will turn out well for his glory and honor and for our good. Even though here and now, there'll be a lot of suffering at times, whatever my lot. Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Even when sorrows like sea billows roll. That's the Christian perspective. Well, let's see, secondly, wisdom fears God. It obeys the king. But secondly, verses 9 through 14, wisdom fears God. As you serve in government or serve your government, and yes, seek to be holy in all that you do and to be a witness of Christ wherever you go, even as Daniel made it obvious that the excellent spirit lived in him, the spirit of God. As you serve, you'll have to endure many things that are just plain wrong. Solomon describes four things that he encountered in the corridors of power since he was in government himself. Verse 9, all this I saw as I applied my mind to everything done under the sun. And here are the four things he saw. As he observed what was going on in government and in the state. Number one, he saw oppressive regimes. There's a time when a man lords it over others to his own hurt. Solomon himself did that with his forced labor. Oppressive regimes. Another evil he saw under the sun. Wicked rulers who are media darlings. And they get all kinds of positive press coverage and accolades of praise. Verse 10, then too I saw the wicked buried. Those who used to come and go from the holy place, from the holy city of Jerusalem. And receive praise in the city where they did this. This too is meaningless. See, their star rises and suddenly it's gone. They're dead. And then praise goes to the next bad man. The next prince. And he gets accolades. He's the darling of the media. And so on. That's the second evil thing he saw. Third, slow justice. Verse 11, when the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, the hearts of the people are filled with schemes to do wrong. Slow justice. Justice that gets tied up in the courts forever so that crime is encouraged. Justice is a deterrent when it is carried out properly and quickly. But when it takes forever, crime is encouraged. And this Solomon saw as well, slow justice. And then he talks about how he dealt with that. Verses 12 and 13, although a wicked man commits 100 crimes and still lives a long time, I know that it will go better with God-fearing men who are reverent before God. From a human perspective, it all looks so nice that he gets to commit so many crimes and justice doesn't come, that the courts never deal with it. But I know that it will go better with God-fearing men who are reverent before God. Yet because the wicked do not fear God, it will not go well with them and their days will not lengthen like a shadow. Think of this. He says, even when things are a mess and justice is not carried out, we can be patient because we have the long-term perspective and we know the long-term outcome. Though the wicked seem to get away with their wickedness and have it so good living in their mansions, and they sometimes even write bestsellers about their high crimes and misdemeanors. It will not go well with them because they do not fear God. In this life, they're plagued by an evil conscience and soiled reputations walk with them all their lives long. That ain't happy. That ain't happy at all. And then at death, in the life to come, they'll enter eternal misery and suffering of hell. Forever separated from God and from the light of his goodness, their days will not lengthen like a shadow. They don't have eternal life. But it will go better with the God-fearing who fear him, who reverence him. They'll walk with God now in the joy of his favor. They'll live under the shadow of his throne, knowing Christ is my king. He's writing it all in his book. He even collects my tears, says the psalmist in Psalm 55. And he records all my tears in his book, and one day he will fully reward me in his grace for everything I've gone through. It will be well. It will be well for those who fear God. And they have that joy, that confidence in this life, and in the life to come, they'll spend eternity in his presence. And the upright in rapture will gaze on his face. Wow. And then the fourth evil, senseless injustice, verse 14. There's something else meaningless that occurs on earth. The righteous who get what the wicked deserve and the wicked who get what the righteous deserve. This too, I say, is meaningless. Mass murderers, rapists, thieves, frauds, liars. They live large. They live prosperously while their victims languish in pain and grief and constant suffering. Many who don't want to work live easy lives off the tax money of those who do work hard. And the worker who stabbed you in the back gets the promotion while you get stuck somewhere low in the food chain. So what should we do? Spend all our lives stressing about the injustice and the inequity and the incompetence of the system? Rage against the system? Should we let bad politics ruin our peace and spoil our pleasure? You see, the high stress levels coming from fearing politics, which can't change the world or fix it. The high stress levels come from fearing politics, which you think should bring you into a new world. But that's idolatry. Government can't fix the problems or bring you into the good life. It can't. Because the solution is not government. And we live in that climate, right? Every time something goes wrong, we bang on the door of the government. You have to solve this. And Christians often jump on that bandwagon. We should not. Fear God. Fear God. He's in control. He does rule the world after all. He'll make everything beautiful in its time, Ecclesiastes 3. He has put his Redeemer on the throne of the universe. Knowing that, you'll have a place of quiet rest, a place of peace. And whatever the outcome of the Ontario elections, whatever the outcome of the North Korean summit, whatever the Prime Minister says during question period next time, relax. Know that Jesus is your King. He reigns. And all that he's doing for the good of his people. You are the apple of his eye. You're safe. Your destiny is not in question. The outcome of your life is not determined what happens in the next election. So don't get into the Chicken Little business of the world is falling apart. That's a wonderful way to be light and salt when we don't hyperventilate over politics. And when we make peace with the way God is running the world, that doesn't mean that we don't get involved with government and we don't speak about public policy and look for that which would benefit the well-being of the nation and please God. It just means that when things don't go the way we hoped, we're not in despair because we fear God. Wisdom fears God. And finally, wisdom knows that it does not have all the answers. Look at the last several verses, 15 through 17, the last three verses. So I commend the enjoyment of life. Because there's nothing better for a man under the sun than to eat and drink and be glad. Then joy will accompany him in his work all the days of the life God has given him under the sun. When I applied my mind to know wisdom and to observe man's labor on earth, his eyes not seeing sleep day or night, then I saw all that God has done, or all the work of God. No one can comprehend what goes on under the sun. Despite all his efforts to search it out, man cannot discover its meaning. Even if a wise man claims he knows, he cannot really comprehend it. Verse 15, there he goes again. This is the fifth time in the book of Ecclesiastes. He's describing misery, sorrow, injustice, and death. And suddenly he says, time out. I recommend you enjoy life anyway. Really? And just how do you want me to do that? Do you just say, don't worry, be happy? And all the problems go away? No. The reason he keeps coming back to this, I commend the enjoyment of life. There's nothing better for a man under the sun than to eat and drink and be glad. Then joy will accompany man in his work all the days of his life God has given him under the sun. Three times he talks about being joyful and glad. It doesn't come just by saying, don't worry, be happy. It comes from having a special knowledge of God. That's what he says in verse 16 and 17. I saw all the work of God. In the stress and the distress of politics and culture, sit back and enjoy each day. And don't let Prime Minister Trudeau destroy the joy of eating Cheerios. It can happen, right? Everything becomes ugly and awful. And we can't enjoy all the little gifts that God has given us under the sun because we're so obsessed with worry and anxiety. Laying awake at nights, he says here, trying to solve the problems, understand everything, fix it. He says, you know, we don't know all that's going on. We can't see the whole picture. And that's the problem with following all the pundits and the Sean Hannitys and the Rush Limbaughs and the Mark Levins in this world. They have the answer to absolutely everything. They are the answer men. They shoot their mouths and deliver their political fixes and urge us to rage and roar until we finally win the political war and get to solve the problems. It's a false religion of political idolatry. I'm not saying they have nothing to offer, but I'm saying they're looking for answers under the sun. Don't go there with them. The best that they can create is harsh lines on your face again and more anxiety. Fact is, we can't solve all the problems. We don't understand all that's going on. But God does. He knows what he's doing. Jesus reigns where'er the sun does its successive journeys run. Salvation is seated upon the throne. Jesus is the new creation. It's coming. Paradise is on the way. It's all found in him. And knowing that helps us to appreciate the gift of civil government without falling into the trap of trusting in it to fix life's problems and to find meaning. It's a dead end. I'll close with a story. True story. In 2008, there was a prominent atheist named Matthew Paris, a journalist in Africa. And he wrote an article entitled, believe it or not, Why Africa Needs God. This man is an atheist. He starts the article by clearly saying, I'm an atheist. I don't believe there's a God. But his article is Why Africa Needs God. He grew up in Malawi. He spent his adult life crisscrossing Africa looking for news stories. And in this article, he states he does not believe in God, but he has clearly seen how Christianity makes a difference in people's lives in Malawi and other countries. He wrote, I admire Christians for their care of the poor and the sick, but I especially admire Christians for how they look on their face. Very interesting. The Christians, he says, were different. Their faith appeared to have liberated them and relaxed them. There was a liveliness about them, a curiosity, an engagement with the world. Whenever we entered a territory worked by missionaries, we had to acknowledge that something changed in the faces of the people we met and spoke to. There was something in their eyes. He doesn't say what it was. We know. Jesus Christ. Trusting in him. They live in places, these folks out there. They're very dismal and disorderly and unjust when it comes to politics, government, and the economy. But their faces shine. Their faces shine. Because they know their lives don't depend on kings and princes. And they rest in Jesus Christ who loves them and is bringing them to glory. They can work within the system as those who don't put their hope in the system. Now that's freedom. That's peace. May God give us grace to put our faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, for our eternal liberty and peace. Amen. Let's pray. Lord our God, we praise you for taking us down this dead-end avenue that Solomon tried and didn't work, and for reminding us again that our hope is in the true King Jesus Christ, who's above the sun, and not in princes and magistrates who operate here below the sun. Yes, we thank you for civil government, but we don't put our trust in them, we put our trust in you. And so help us to relax, give us the peace of God that passes all understanding, so people can see in our eyes and on our faces that we're different. We belong to Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.